the technological singularity is generally thought of as a point in time at which the progress of science and technology becomes so rapid that from the point of view of the human mind, it's essentially infinite. My friend Ray Kurzweil has done a bunch of curve plotting, trying to extrapolate current trends in technology, and his view is that we're going to hit a singularity sometime around 2045, which is pretty damn soon in the grand scheme of things, although a fairly long time in terms of our individual human lives.
And it could be even sooner than that, believe it or not, the way things are moving.
It could be. As Niels Bohr, the founder of quantum physics, said, it's difficult to predict, especially the future. And, I mean, there's some wisdom to that. I think Ray's estimate of 2045 is a rational one. On the other hand, we could see a singularity in 2020, or we could see it drag on till 2100, the end of the century, if we run into unforeseen problems. I'm certainly working to bring a positive singularity about sooner rather than later, because there's a lot of problems in the world that advanced technology is going to be able to solve once it gets a little further along.
Is there any downside to this, Ben? Do you see anything out there that could be frightening for the human race?
There certainly are risks associated with the singularity, just like there are risks associated with any advanced technology. Lasers could potentially be used to make laser guns orbiting the Earth and shooting people down. That was President Reagan's Star Wars idea. On the other hand, as we see now, we have lasers used in surgery. We have lasers used inside CD players and scanners.
Yeah.
Any powerful technology could be used for good or for bad. Right now, we see more of the good than the bad in the world around us in terms of how technology is used. And I'm fairly optimistic that will continue to be the case. I think in science fiction movies and TV shows, it's always more exciting to make the killer robot army marching around blowing everybody up than to make the robot doctor curing people's cancer. But I'm hopeful we're going to see more of the robot doctor than the robot warrior.
That would be dramatic. I'd love to see that, too. There are two phrases, artificial intelligence and another one, artificial general intelligence. What's the difference there?
When the AI field was founded back in the late 1950s, the founders of AI were thinking about AIs that think like people do, or even more generally than people do. But that problem proved pretty difficult to solve, given the computers at that time. So the field of AI went in a direction of increasing specialization. It went in a direction of making programs that solve very specific problems in very specific contexts. And this led to some useful stuff. I mean, it led to the AI we see in games. It led to Deep Blue that could beat the world champion at chess. It led to AI stock prediction programs. It led to AI programs for credit card fraud detection, planning and scheduling, the AI inside of Google's search engine and ad placement engine. All these are AI applications, which are really cool, but they're not going in the direction that the founders of AI were thinking of in terms of human-level thinking machines like R2-D2 or C-3PO or robot Einstein scientists or whatever. So AGI, or Artificial General Intelligence, is a concept some of us AI researchers have introduced to really refer to the good old-fashioned AI in the sense it was meant in the 1950s, to refer to AI that's about making thinking machines with their own general intelligence, their own self, their own autonomy and ability to understand the world.
When earlier science writers talked about artificial intelligence way gone back, did they hit the mark, Ben, in terms of projecting when it would happen? Were they pretty close?
I think that the early AI researchers had a huge variety of estimates of how long it would take, actually. I don't think there was a consensus. It did happen that some of the early AI researchers, say Marvin Minsky, who's still around today, actually, he made conjectures in the 1960s that, yeah, we'll have obsoleted human beings for a lot of jobs by the mid-1970s. He thought we would have human-level AI by, say, 1975, 1980, or something like that. And, of course, that didn't happen. And the whole set of ideas that those early AI researchers were pursuing are now largely considered obsolete.
You could look
in the same way at the history of flying machines, of course, because before the Wright brothers, there was all kinds of people trying to make pedal-powered helicopters and wings that you strap on your back and jump off a cliff and try to fly and all sorts of cockamamie flying contraptions. And there was a long history of failure, such that many of the world's great scientists thought that human flight would never be possible. But then as it turned out, the Wright brothers just went ahead and did it, not necessarily because they were smarter than the ones coming before them who had tried and failed. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci tried to make a flying machine and didn't succeed. Leonardo was probably smarter than the Wright brothers.
Yeah.
But the supporting technologies were there for the Wright brothers that in a way that they weren't at the time of Leonardo. And I think the same is true now. We have the supporting technologies in terms of hardware and software to build AGI systems. And computers in 1970 just sucked. They weren't good enough to build an advanced AI on, even if you had the right idea.
And what's so amazing, too, is the size of the computers back in the 70s compared to what they are now and the firepower we've got with these computers today. It's amazing,
well, yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, my phone now has the power of a supercomputer from back then.
I know. You know, when you send a text message to someone, you can hit your little microphone and speak it. And your smartphone types it out for you. It's amazing. I love that kind of technology.
And it's interesting that technology was not foreseen by the same guys who foresaw AI coming in the mid-1970s. So they thought some things would come sooner than they did, and other amazing things like the internet and mobile phones. They didn't foresee it all. It reminds me of some old science fiction novels. You had these huge starships going from star to star, and you had people walking up and down staircases on the starships. You know, they didn't bother to put elevators in the starships.
How smart, Ben, can these artificial intelligence machines get?
I don't think we can know what the limit is. That's sort of like asking a cockroach, how smart could a human get? All we can know is, hey, we can make machines that are way smarter than us. And how much further it could go than human beings is something for the AIs to figure out. There's only so far a being can see beyond its own intelligence level.
What are we limited to? What can hold us back from really just taking off on us?
I don't think anything is going to hold us back from creating AIs that are much smarter than we are. It can happen faster or slower, depending on the amount of energy and attention and money that go into AI research as opposed to other things. But it's not going to be stopped. I think attention and funding could make the difference between human-level AI happening in 2020 or 2080. But it's going to happen. I mean, humanity is on that trajectory. We've been making smarter and smarter and more powerful machines at an accelerating pace for quite some time now. I mean, if the U.S. went nuts and said, no more smart machines in America, so what? China's going to make the smart machines. You know, there's no way you're going to get everyone to agree to stop that development because that's what people want to do. People want to build stuff that's better and better, smarter and smarter, cooler and cooler, does more and more things. And As Ray Kurzweil has pointed out in his arguments for the singularity, this is happening at a faster and faster pace.